Please be advised.
Spoiler alert episode. Spoiler.
Please be advised. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Greetings, everyone. How about a Thor spoiler ep? You want that? You want that hot action?
You've demanded it, and you know there's only one person that could have done this.
Who's that laughing? Who got? Who's laughing? Who is playing a Marvel game on their phone before they did this?
And who called me and said you're going to do a spoiler ep, right? You got and
can I be on? Can I be yes, on?
And I said, well, initially we had Jamie Flam,
right?
And
Jackie responded to that by, oh, you're going in a non-cation direction?
Yeah. I saw her. We did a show together Thursday. And after the show, she was like, oh, I got to get going. As she was getting in her car, I could tell she was a little mad.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. She was like, no, you got Jamie. I'm not doing it. No, that's cool. I get it. I was like, oh, Cation's a little ticked off that she's not doing the
And then something happened to Jamie Flam, you guys. I don't know if you guys
weird.
Know this.
Yeah. Weird. Russian mafia. Yeah.
Armenian mafia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Had a little accident.
Got knee hit with a crowbar.
That's weird. He fell down a flight of stairs while Jackie was on stage in front of a couple hundred alibis.
couple hundred alibis, you guys. That's the name of my next album.
Speaking of alibis, we have an ad read today.
What, you
we
son have a of a bitch? How could you possibly do that?
This episode is brought to you today by ZipRecruiter.
Oh, yeah.
Now, ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. Then ZipRecruiter puts its smart matching technology to work, actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting, so you receive the best possible matches. Look, you're looking for somebody for your job. You don't want to go through 1,000 job boards. You want to go through ZipRecruiter and have them do it for you.
Exactly.
But come on. You're not going to do it. We're not going to let you do it for full price. That would be crazy. You're a listener to this show. That means perks, especially if you're a hiring manager. You actually can go to ZipRecruiter.com/CFN to try it for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/CFN. Try ZipRecruiter for free.
A lot of you guys run your own businesses. This is a great way to go find high-end talent. I made that sound creepy.
Yeah.
I sound like a guy running a strip club.
Nice high-end talent.
High-end talent. But ZipRecruiter.com could do that. Mm-hmm. Get the best people for your company.
You really should. Have them pre-screened.
You know? God, we always forget to do that.
I know.
I'm right here, guys.
Now we do that joke every time we have a ZipRecruiter ad.
So speaking of high-end, high-quality people and running your own business, don't we have something else to promote, Graham?
You know, Jamie Flam was going to be on the show to promote.
Until something happened to
until
him.
Until something, well.
It is unfortunate, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
but
weird.
Here's the good news.
He has a Kickstarter.
There you go. You can support him and probably his medical bills.
Yeah.
Yes.
No. He's starting a new comedy and music venue.
It's fantastic. I actually, it's the Hayworth Theater, which is just sort of west of downtown LA. It's a really cool space. It was built in the 20s. It is, and it's being remodeled. And so he's doing a Kickstarter for it. And it's called, if you just go to Kickstarter.com and then search Dynasty at the Hayworth, you can see, and they got 9 days left, and there's cool stuff. You can put money and get your name on the wall. Like, you've been to a theater and you'll see, like, donor wall. You could have your name on there.
It's going to get tickets to shows.
Yeah. Jamie Flam used to book the Hollywood Improv.
Right.
We all worked there. He was really cool. He was instrumental in kind of starting the lab and
curated talent.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he also had these weird secret shows where he'd wear a hat.
Yeah.
And there'd be music and stuff. So he's eclectic. He knows all different kinds of comics and musicians and performers and stuff. So I'm looking forward to the show at the Hayworth. I mean, he'll put on some great shows.
I think that's sort of his vibe, and it didn't quite it sort of worked with the improv, but the improv's pretty old school comedy club. He wanted like
more
this
corporatized.
Yeah, he wanted like a music different kind of artists, and I think this theater is the best thing for where his sensibilities, and he's been really good to so many of us, and so you got to back this, guys. If you can be a part of this cool theater, we're going to be doing comedy film nerd shows there. Jackie's going to be doing shows there. We're all going to be doing really interesting stuff. We've been talking about doing We've been talking about doing Comedy Film Nerd, like, live commentary shows.
Yes.
Like, our version of MST3K, basically. And I told him about that. He goes, yes, absolutely. So you guys are getting involved on a cool thing. So Kickstarter.com, and then just search. It's got a really long URL. So just search Dynasty at the Hayworth and support Jamie Flam. They got 9 days left to make.
And what's their funding goal?
$100,000.
Well, you know, it's not impossible if we did it.
We did it. These guys can.
Yep.
And you can do it at the last minute. So.
And board games get a million. So everybody, yeah, throw some cash at this guy.
Mm-hmm. Board games get a million.
Board games do get a million. That's not even an exaggeration.
And I know they have good toy value, but just think of the toy value at the Hayworth with stand-up comics.
Yep. You're supporting really cool live performing in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
So be a part of it.
Check it out. And there's only a couple days left.
Come on. 9 days.
So Thor Ragnarok, let's talk about it. First, let's talk about those stingers at the end. That's Thanos' ship, right?
That had to be. It would look like his chin.
Right.
Yeah.
I turned to Annie and I said, that's Thanos' ship, right? And he was like, yeah, it looked like it. It looked like it. And then...
Now, do you think Loki took the cosmic cube at the end?
I don't know why.
When he walked past it?
Why wouldn't he?
Right.
Why wouldn't he pocket
the cosmic? To already
kind of
make a deal with Thanos at some point?
At one point, he's just going to be standing next to Thanos like he was standing next to the
Jeff Goldblum.
But he's one of the, not the Endless, but he's one of the Elders. Like, there's the Collector, and this guy was the Grandmaster, and then there's, who are the Ego is one of the
Living Planet,
right?
Yeah, Ego, the Living Planet. There's also whatever. I mean, there's the Gardener. Remember the Gardener?
No.
From the comic books, he was like the Collector. It was played by Del Toro or mm-hmm. Benicio.
Right.
Yeah, Del Toro.
Del Toro.
Yeah. And so Jeff Goldblum plays the Grandmaster. They are siblings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they're all related, as is Ego, the Living Planet, even though no blue lip, and also the Gardener who created the blue thing on the moon, the sort of the blue zone.
Right.
It's where the Watcher
watches.
Oh, yeah,
because it has air and stuff, and the Inhumans lived there for a while. Mm. You know who didn't live there? The Draculas.
Right.
it was when Deadpool goes to the dark side of the moon and fights the Draculas.
The Draculas.
I laugh, and he keeps calling them the Draculas, and they're like, "No, it's one guy named Dracula. We're vampires." He's like, "Whatever, Draculas," and it's very funny. Anyway, but Jeff Goldblum. It was, but I loved it. Did you?
Yeah, it was a really fun movie.
Fantastic. The we talked about this in the regular episode, but the fun that was the sense of humor, you know, the last Thor I was not a huge fan of because it's a lot of, you know.
Because it was basically you and I talking about Lord of the Rings.
It was Lord of the Rings with a hammer, you know what I mean? It was a lot of Gleeb Norby business that I just couldn't get into.
You've got frost giants and dark elves.
Yeah.
Graham checks out.
I'm out.
I was a little worried about how funny it was because I was like, are they doing so quippy because Guardians is so popular?
Right.
Because I liked a more serious, like there's, like obviously this is taken from.
You're a long way from Kenneth Branagh.
Oh, very much so. And the further away from him we go, I'm happier. It's not my place. Kenneth Branagh, you're doing vital work out there. I know you're listening to Comedy Film Nerds. Anyway, but what I thought was, it was a bit of a mess. It was a very much a graphic novel. Like it felt like five or six issues of a comic book. Where?
Why do you say that?
Well, because it was like the first part, he's in the basket and he's fighting Surtur, right?
Right.
The fire giant guy. And I think in a comic book situation, 22 pages later, clearly the end of that one was with the reveal of fake Odin.
Right.
Loki. Mm-hmm. Okay, next. And then a month later, you get a comic book and it opens up with Thor and Loki and the senior center and then Odin. And then Odin dies. And then Hela follows them on the bridge. And then that one ends when they both get kicked off the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Episode issue two. Right? Legacy issues, number two. And then the three and four and five are like split issues where we follow Hela subjugating the Asgard and Thor and Loki and Hulk, you know, like parallelly. Like the first one, let's see, it goes, Hel subjugates Asgard and Heimdall steals the sword and her and Scourge raise the dead.
Right, the executioner.
Yes.
So, but he doesn't stay the executioner.
Redemption.
Yes, he does.
Which I love. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah, but horrible guy. Feel free to kill him.
Right.
Redemption, but there at the end of his life. And he, you know, he essentially literally takes a bullet.
I think one of my, out of all the jokes, and there were plenty of them in the movie, I think one of my favorite ones was actually delivered by Cate Blanchett when she's talking about the executioner. It's like, you know, when you're the executioner, you don't just execute people. You execute a vision. But mostly you execute people.
She was so great.
Yes.
It was one of the best villains.
She freaking nailed it upon nailed it.
It was so awesome. Her arrogance about... And we've seen this... you know, we've seen somebody like a bad guy do this before, like, you can't beat me, I'm so arrogant. But to have her do it was like, it's fucking brought something so new to
it. And Thor couldn't beat her.
No one could beat her. And she'd walk in there and they're like, that one, I forget his name, who's like, you have taken the throne illegally or whatever. And she's like, all right, if you guys want to fucking, you should just
watch me walk over your dead body.
I'm going to eat your children, so go for it.
Her arrogance was amazing. And then she reveals the story behind the story when the false ceiling.
She breaks the false.
Then you're like, oh.
The original
Odin,
tiles.
Hello.
Yeah, Odin had a little sordid past. Yeah, like,
who likes to whitewash the past, huh?
Well, Odin hiding his daughter from everybody?
And Hela, and it was, craziness. And she just was just freaking awesome. And then, but she had such a great arc because her meeting the fire giant at the end going, damn it, this was the prophecy. I can't beat the fire giant. And so... I'm sure she got sent back to Hela.
And Clayton
and now rules it.
And now rules Hela again.
Isn't she like the ruler of
she's the head of...
The Hades or whatever, the Norse version.
Hel with one L.
Right.
And her name is Hela.
So also too, like, Cate Blanchett hasn't played a lot of villains.
No, usually she's a good guy.
She's always the, you know, pure as the driven snow, fighting the good fight. To see her just be like,
actresses always say things like, she accepted the role in the movie to please her children who are Marvel Comics fans.
She said that?
But Blanchett's eldest son, Dashiell John Upton, suggested she take the role of Hela, saying it'd be a career boost. Now, it fascinates me. It's like...
Why does your son have three first names?
Right. John Upton Sinclair would have been the best.
Oh, my God, it would have been.
Welcome
to the jungle.
She unfortunately has played a villain before, guys. If you remember the Crystal Skull in the Jones.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She played the Russian.
The Russian with the bob haircut.
That's right. I forgot
about
that.
She probably had the time of her life, though.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And,
horrible accent.
Like I always say, it's like I'm doing the Harry Potter movies for like, because my kids want me to do them. Like, really? You've never heard of this giant franchise before? You've never heard of Marvel movies? You
know? Right. That's why Jeff Goldblum did it.
Right.
It wasn't because he needed work.
No. He loves that apartment app. That apartment finding app where you float through space and get a good apartment.
It's not like Cate Blanchett isn't 50 and like, nope, I need, anything? You got something?
Yeah.
Let's do this.
I'm 50 and you're going to let me wear a bodysuit and kick ass. Yeah. I'm in. Tell everybody
Lord.
I'm 32.
Exactly. Let's do this.
The other thing too I loved was so Jeff Goldblum.
She's a good kick-ass 50. Give her a lot of credit.
She's 50, man.
Sure,
she's the new 30.
Yeah.
Tessa Thompson as Valkyrie. Tessa Thompson was the girlfriend
in
Creed.
Was she?
Yeah, she's a girlfriend in Creed opposite Michael B. Jordan. She's
right.
Which she's great in that. This was cool. I like this too because we haven't seen. We've seen the unwilling hero. That doesn't. She's a Valkyrie. I don't care. Right.
She's the last Valkyrie.
I saw them all slaughtered. I'm not going back. I'm trying to think of. Have we seen a lot of women play this like boozy? I don't want to be a hero.
Tank girl.
Reluctant
Tank
hero.
Girl.
Wow. That's going back.
Wow. Tank girl.
I fucking love
the
Lori
Petty masterpiece.
I fucking love Tank girl. It makes me laugh.
Even Buffy wasn't boozy.
All the money went into the tank and to Jet's jet. Nothing went into the suits with the rabbit people. They were out of suit. They were out of money. Anyway. So
I got to say,
was,
I'm sorry, real quick
new.
Though. We need to acknowledge the fact, over 400 episodes, first time we've ever had a Tank Girl reference. I think on the show. I really don't think we've ever had one.
Rewatch.
I think we're getting. I think we're going to get a point of order on that.
Someone point of order us.
Episode blah blah blah. You referenced Tank Girl.
Okay.
All right.
But no, Tessa Thompson. She was great as Valkyrie.
Right.
And she was a badass. And those flashbacks. That was the only time.
That Loki thing. when he made her remember the flashback.
Yes.
That was super powerful. I loved that.
That was a good scene.
That was one of only like three scenes, I think, where I went, oh, now I wish I was in 3D.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
The Valkyries, that scene
horses?
On 3D,
yeah,
the horses,
the Pegasus, yeah.
That would have been fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the
yeah.
one scene I was like, ooh, 3D, that would have rocked.
That would have been great. And it was one of the two or three scenes, and offhand, you'll probably remind me, is where I felt like it reached that other level of Marvel movie that I love. When it's not just quippy, you know, superhero. I love a superhero. I love quippy. I love hero action-y stuff. But I like it when there's a point. I love it when, and the fact that Loki can make you remember the thing you don't want to remember. Mm. And she was like, I fucking hate you.
It's part of his wizarding powers.
Yeah. The Doctor Strange.
Oh, yeah. The Doctor Strange cameo was great.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was really fun.
That was a great cameo.
And it was a great ending to the cameo. Like it looked like they were about to fight. It was like, oh, you're some kind of sorcerer. I'll show you. Okay, goodbye.
Yeah, so awesome.
Don't let the portal hit you.
Yeah.
Just fucking, if you keep lipping off, I'm going to portal you.
Now,
you know? Which is fantastic.
I've been falling for a half an hour.
Yeah.
That was such a great line.
So now, Jackie, I have a question for you. At the Grandmaster's Tower, there were statuettes of his champions. And there were Easter eggs from Marvel Comics. Now, they had the Greek god Ares.
Okay.
They had Beta Ray Bill, who is kind of like an alien Thor.
He's the alien Thor. He's like a, what is Beta Ray? Does he just look like a horse, or what am I thinking?
Yes, that's the one.
Okay,
that's
it.
And then Man-Thing.
Oh, I missed that one.
But now the one I'd never heard of was the android monster, the Bi-Beast. Who's that?
Oh, my God, I don't know. I don't know who the Bi-Beast is.
Oh, all right. We're going to get an email.
It's a fail. Cation fail. Wow.
Should have had Flam on the show.
And they didn't have Throg. Yeah. They didn't have Throg, which
no
is the
frog.
Thor frog. Thor frog is actually awesome. Thor frog is an actual frog that is Thor. And he hangs out with the Pet Avengers with Lockjaw. And it's great. I know I sound ridiculous.
I feel like you're making something.
There are
I feel
like you're...
Someone did make something up.
Yeah,
they made up the Pet Avengers. But I was going to tell you, the Valkyrie, they called her Scrapper 142 because the first time that Valkyrie, she was the last Valkyrie, right? And they just, in the credits, they just call her Valkyrie. Mm-hmm. Well, she had a name, and it was Brunhilde. And she was in issue 142 of Hulk. But it was issue 142 of the first comic that she was in in 1972.
I
had to look it up, but I was like, why 142? You knew it meant something.
Because this is a big piece of the Planet Hulk storyline, was this movie.
Yep, the scar. And I read it because Matt Weinhold insisted. He's like, here's a graphic novel about the Hulk. And I'm like, I never care about the Hulk, but I will take your graphic novel. And then it was great. It was fast. And I loved the Bruce Banner, you know, I don't want to be the Hulk again. And you will notice, spoiler alert, where the whole episode is the...
Oh, real quick. Did we say that at the top of the show?
We forgot to say it.
Oh, too late. Well, you know what it's called. We're going to give away the endings.
Exactly.
We started at the endings.
Right, yeah. and he doesn't turn back to Bruce Banner at the end of the movie. He's still the Hulk at the end of the movie.
Right.
And you're like, uh-oh.
I wanted to get into this more because that scene where Bruce Banner comes out of, and Mark Ruffalo's all like, how long have I been the Hulk? And that scene with Thor, which was kind of funny, but also like, oh.
Heartbreaking. Mm-hmm.
Like, oh God, he's been stuck.
And you don't like me and Thor with his quippy. No, I like you better than the Hulk.
Yeah.
No, I like the Hulk better than you. And you're like, don't belittle the scene. I wanted the scene to have more gravitas.
Yeah.
You know? But
that was a time where it was a little jokey. Although the laugh where he goes, "I'm as important or I'm as much of a hero as," and he goes, "Really?" Like that fucking made me laugh out loud.
What was the thing that the ship said? The strongest superhero or whatever.
Oh yeah, the strongest Avenger.
The strongest Avenger made me laugh.
Point Break. Yeah. But the one of the things I was really interested to see too is like the way they tied together like everything from Avengers and Civil War. Like, because when you watch the movie Civil War, your first two questions are like, well, everyone is in this except Thor and the Hulk. Where are they? and it ties in. Oh no, they were off on this other planet. Like that. That's how closely the timelines are watched in these movies, which is really cool. That so is. To put everything together, like when we get the Avengers Infinity War, where literally everyone is going to be in them.
The greatest idea for a one-shot. Andy Ashcraft, my fella. the dude I'm married to has the greatest idea. Remember in Ultron, Avengers Ultron, everyone was at that party except for Pepper and Jane Foster. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
And Andy wants there to be a one-shot where they're just at dinner during that party, like at like a Bechdel test dinner, where they're not discussing either of their boyfriends, and they're just talking about science and business and organizing their own lives. Mm-hmm. And they never, like, Thor doesn't come up, Iron Man doesn't come up.
That
just
would
Jane
be awesome.
The greatest Marvel one-shot never made, mm-hmm. you guys.
They stopped making those
I know
one-shots.
It. I know it. And it's not like they ran out of money.
No.
Yeah, they didn't have it in the budget.
And each one got better, too. The Mandarin one was fantastic.
Oh, the Mandarin one was so good.
Yeah. It was like, because this is getting off topic a little bit, but when we remember when the Mandarin turned out to be basically an actor,
yeah.
and fans
yes.
were upset, that were like, well, no, you wasted an actual villain in the Marvel Universe. Now we can't use that villain.
No.
In the one shot that came after that, it kind of sets up the stage that may not necessarily be the case.
No. The thing is you can't. I mean, the fact, why wouldn't the Mandarin throw an actor as a decoy?
Right.
You know, because
mm-hmm.
just to be murdered, and then he can still work from the background. The Mandarin's
right.
he's a great, I wonder who would play that.
Well, and the one shot was like, well, now, you know, the person who you're impersonating is kind of upset and he wants to meet you. So he breaks him out of prison
yep.
to meet the actual Mandarin.
And it was Gandhi. Mm-hmm. Who played
Ben Kingsley.
Ben Kingsley,
yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
it. Yeah.
So what do we? Let's go into the actual ending, right?
Yes.
So Hela gets defeated by
the
fire giant
monster.
Everybody
yeah,
gets
sort
away,
of.
Sort of.
And Asgard gets destroyed.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, the foundation's still there. That rock guy.
Right.
He's like, no.
That was the director too. That's
who played the rock guy.
Who played the rock
okay.
guy? Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was his voice.
It sounded familiar. I don't know why. It's you know what it sounded like? It sounded like one of the Flight of the Conchords guys.
Well, that's he was heavily involved in Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the, they're on that ship, that freighter, with all the Asgardians.
The remaining Asgardians, except
right.
for the army that she slaughtered.
Right. And at the end, the real Ragnarok comic book, all the Asgardians are killed, including mm-hmm. Thor.
Really?
Oh, okay.
In the comic book, it took 3 years for him to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Bendis killed him. And
doesn't Bendis kill everybody?
Bendis fucking kills everybody, you guys. And it's
kind
just like,
dick.
Stop killing people. Just write an ending that doesn't involve killing the hero. It's and then it took 3 years to bring Thor back and everybody back. So, and then I think it was Aaron, or it was either Aaron. Yeah, it was Jason Aaron who brought him back first, and then Straczynski, I think, when Thor comes back as Dr. Donald Blake.
Mm-hmm.
And he had an alter ego. I don't know if you ever remember. Anyway, and Loki was a lady in that comic book art. It was kind of weird. But there was a great, I digress completely from the movie.
No,
to tell
we're
you
fascinated.
That
please, continue.
There was a Jason Aaron arc before No More Mutants. It was probably 2003 or 2004, where Jason Aaron, one of the spinoffs of this giant crossover thing that Marvel does every fucking year. But there was one issue, and it was about a planet of Thors. And all the Thors were cops. The Thors were cops. And
with hammers?
With hammers. They all had hammers, and they were all different Thors. And the Thor that most related to... And Doctor... It was when all the bad guys split up the universe, and Doctor Doom had a planet, and his police force were Thors. And it was the name of the comic, like if you get the graphic novel, I think it's just called Thors with a plural, not a Z. And Jason Aaron wrote it, and it was great. It was the one where... On every in every planet, in every parallel universe, somebody was going. I think it was Loki was going through and killing all the Jane Fosters.
Oh.
And
wow.
Yeah. So it was
in every universe.
In every universe, and they had missed. He had in the Thor universe. they had missed her, I think. And so
Sarah Connored.
She got Sarah Connored. They missed one. And then thus the regular timeline could be restored. Mm. Talk about a spoiler, you guys. But the Thors actually is actually really funny because the Thors all talk like Thors. And they talk to each other like Thors. And so it's really funny to say the word Thors a bunch. So they're all going to go back to Earth with the Asgardians. I'm sure the Norwegians are psyched about the influx of refugees coming from Asgard to live on that cliff.
Well, wasn't that where Odin turned into dust?
That's where he went into sparkle fairy dust.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
that might be the new Asgard. Norway.
Could be. You remember it was above Branson, Missouri for a little bit. Where was it? Oklahoma?
Branson, Missouri, by that casino.
You're thinking of Willie Nelson. There was a Thor that loomed over some tiny town, I think in Oklahoma, in one of the arcs as well. And I can't remember. It was when he came back, when Straczynski wrote him back as Dr. Donald Blake. For some reason, Asgard existed in the air above a city. And that's when Hammer came in and was like, we own this airspace. It was Roxxon. It was not Exxon, but the bad guys in Marvel that are oil bad guys are called Roxxon.
Nice.
Clever twist.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Not Bobel.
The fracking that was going on, I think it was called, no, I don't know what it was called. So they're going to come back and they're going to drag Loki's going back with them.
I mean, Loki even says in the end, you sure you want to bring me back to Earth?
Right.
Like, says it. Do you really want to do this?
Yeah.
My theory is, like I said at the top, is that he has the cosmic cube and he's going to give it to Thanos and it's going to cause a ton of problems right from the get-go launching Infinity War.
Yeah. Yeah,
so,
it is.
Because, Loki's not going to walk by the cosmic cube and not take it.
There's no way. Yeah.
Where are we at here in terms of what are the next Marvel movies to come out, and then when do we get to Infinity War?
First of all, I have a quick question because I've been rewatching the movies. The Cosmic Cube, I thought, was with the Collector. Like at the end of was at the end of First Avenger, the Asgardians bring the Cosmic Cube to the Collector, and they say, why doesn't Asgard want to keep the Tesseract? And they say, we can't have two Infinity Stones in one place.
Well, yeah, it never gets explained how it got back there.
Right. Well, except for Hela is walking through that hall, and she knocked over the Infinity Gauntlet and said, fake.
Right.
So maybe Loki steals a fake Tesseract? Mm-hmm. Fake Cosmic Cube?
Maybe. We won't know for a little while.
Right. Anyway, so...
But by the way...
When is Infinity War? Is that 2019
It's not next year, is it?
I don't know.
2018.
Aaron might know.
Aaron, can you tell us when the next Avengers Infinity War movie is? Yeah.
The first of three.
Now, keep in mind, too, 2017, this is the first year that three Marvel movies came out.
What three?
Normally, it's just two.
There's Thor.
Yeah, there's Thor, Guardians, and Spider-Man.
And Spider-Man was the crossover with Sony, right?
Now, technically, they made that movie for Sony, but it was still a Marvel production.
Yeah, and it was great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was fantastic.
Man, the first time...
But remember when it was like a big deal when we would get one superhero movie in the summer a year, and then that was like, all right, well, this is the big summer blockbuster. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, now this year we got three.
Yeah, it's almost too many, except for that I love them.
As of now, Infinity War is slated for May 4th of next year.
Of 2019?
2018.
2018?
Yeah.
Okay.
May the 4th?
Yeah.
That's going to be
with you.
Giant
2018.
Movie.
Yeah, Infinity.
So then it goes, so Black Panther and then Infinity War, right?
Sounds right.
Wow.
Does it have a listed budget on Infinity War? It's got to be $300 million at least.
Really?
It has to be.
Oh, just because of staffing.
Yeah. Yeah. Above the line alone.
Above the line alone.
It's $150 million in graphics.
Right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That Black Panther movie, man.
Oh.
Are you guys reading either of those? Because it's Ta-Nehisi Coates, and I'm probably saying his name wrong, famous for many things.
Saying things, too.
Yeah, he's an out loud guy. The guy talks out of his face hole, and he's super smart. Got like probably Bruce Banner number of PhDs, and I know him because he writes the Black Panther. But he wrote Black Panther and Black Panther and Crew. Black Panther and Crew was him and Luke Cage in Harlem. It was pretty great. Only 6 issues coming out in a graphic novel. Get on it. Ta-Nehisi Coates. I would read anything he wrote, except for that some of it's hard. Like it's nonfiction.
Oh, wow. Well, what are some of your favorite scenes from this film, from this movie?
Oh, Jeff Goldblum chewing up scenery.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Hilarious.
How about the last line of the movie? Of the last line of his last line?
Which was?
Let's call it a tie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, where he comes out of the oh, my God.
Yeah, the stinger. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a stinger. Oh, that's right. Let's call it a tie.
Yeah.
Oh God, I freaking love you. You're outstanding.
Yep. You can't have a revolution without someone to overthrow. So yeah, yep. You needed me.
Yep. So let's call it a tie.
Call it a tie. And I love, they're like, what was the ship? It doesn't have guns. Oh, he would just use it for orgies. Like, yeah. just what is he doing?
Don't touch anything.
Right. It had kind of a little PG-13 in the sex and language thing.
And thankfully, a lot of that went over the heads of my children.
And it would. and that's yes. I remember seeing, I didn't get Grease, when I was 11. And really for the best. Because if you've watched Grease, it's filthy.
It is.
Anyway, so
it's completely filthy.
It's the Porky's for 11-year-old girls. First Porky's reference, tick. Tank Girl and Porky's.
Tank Girl and Porky's.
So what was your favorite? You got one?
Well, it was the Valkyrie scene. The Valkyrie flashback was my favorite scene. I really, Tessa Thompson, she's a young actress. She hasn't done much. I mean, so I really liked her in Creed. But this was so different. And I just love the her character realizing.
It was out. It was, she was so great when she first, her coming into the scene, like when she fell off her ramp.
Oh.
And then was like, no, he's mine. And then she got her
she
got her gauntlets to work.
Yeah.
And then she could transform her.
Yeah, she does all that. And then Thor's kind of like, oh, great, she saved me. And she's like, lights out, get in the cage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
that
was fucking great.
So great.
I'll tell you, I liked hearing, and you don't get to hear this very often, Led Zeppelin in a movie.
Oh, yeah, it is
they
hard.
They never license their music.
Isn't that
movies.
Was that initial screaming song?
What?
Was that
what
that was?
Oh,
it.
Yeah, of course.
What is that, Chris? What's that song called?
So,
that's Immigrant Song.
Immigrant Song, yes.
Here's my...
Led Zeppelin also often referenced Tolkien in their songs.
Yes. So they were a bunch of nerds.
Mm-hmm.
What I like is that... this is what I like to refer to Led Zeppelin as. That screaming band, right?
Yeah.
Aww,
I was never into Zeppelin.
So.
Never really... Gave a shit.
Oh,
the way they were used in this movie was great.
It was perfect.
How about this scene? Loki sitting next to Jeff Goldblum, sitting next to the Grandmaster, and Hulk does his thwap, 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 thwap with Thor, and he's like, see how that feels?
Yeah.
How does that feel?
That was fantastic.
Loki was great in this thing, and I love that Thor has started throwing things at him. That's the best.
Well, that's the thing I liked about it. That's such a great point, is... So Loki, to me, in the past, I wasn't a huge... It was sort of like he was a little too dimensional. In this movie, we got to see him be funny. We got to see, he does kind of have a heart, but the resentments of his brother, but he is... You can't trust him.
Still can't trust him.
Betraying, not betraying, betraying, not betraying. Yeah, like when Thor doesn't fall for the stealing of the leisure craft... That was great.
Yeah.
Right.
Where he's just like, why would you think? Why would you think that I would fall for it again and again and again? It's like, well, because you're not that bright.
Yeah.
And
I loved Carl Urban as Scourge. I loved his dilemma of just like.
I'm just the janitor.
You know, he's this big badass who's just like, I got to survive because this lady's going to kill me. And then the dilemma of, I don't want to, I got to cut this person's head off.
Yeah.
You know, and she's just like, do it. You see the fear, and it was like, that was so awesome. He's terrified of her. She's fucking pure evil. She can't be stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And what does he do? You know, because he's just like, oh,
This is my job now.
I got to side with her so she doesn't fucking cut me open. So,
right.
But she's horrifying.
She's horrifying, so I'm now the tool of the monster.
Yeah.
And then I don't want to be the tool of the monster anymore, which is, there's some redemption there, which is great. It's
didn't last long.
Didn't last long, but his monsterhood didn't last long. But he was such a dirtbag in the beginning when he had Heimdall's job.
Right.
So where he's just sitting there with the ladies talking about how he steals a bunch of stuff. Like right. he has the two destroy. You know, he's got the, which come back, nice callback. Right. Very Chekhovian. Mm-hmm. Why introduce a gun into the plot if you're not going to
Yes, answer? And I always love a machine gun that has no recoil and you can hold with one hand.
Yes. When will... Yes. Okay. So, buddy film, though. Interesting buddy film, right?
Yeah.
Buddy film, but also like father-son film. And then...
Such a... The father-son... I mean, the one-on-one scenes with Odin, you know, where Odin's sort of talking to, like...
Oh, like when he's channeling the...
When Owen's kind of saying, like,
the lightning in the end?
Yeah, I'm checking out. When they first see him in the old folks' home, and he's just like, yeah, I'm, they're like, you got it. He's like, no, my time's over. I'm done. Yeah. This is it. Yeah. You know, they're coming for
me. Had a good run.
Yeah.
I had a good run.
So now do you think Thor's going to get his eye back?
I hope so. I hate it when Thor, because in the comics, he also, there's a part where he doesn't have the eye, and you're like, it's a little too on the nose, his losing the eye.
Yeah. And, we already have that with Odin one eye. We get it. It's in his name.
Yeah, it's in his... Thor is... And then I want him to get his hammer back, too.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the Marvel Cinematic, who knows if they will.
Right. Well, that was a great thing, too, that Hela just crushed it like it was fucking tinfoil.
Right.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah, she's clearly another level of Asgardian. And the power of the firstborn and all this stuff and the and the sorcery and
the goddess of death.
And the goddess of death. Mm-hmm. Sure she is. And which means Thanos would have loved her.
Yeah.
But as he courts death. And then let's see, I think I had another good Satan's anus. The dumbest joke in the world.
I was like, come on.
I know. Well,
wasn't necessary.
Right. I like that you could be knocked off the Bifrost Bridge. I love that when they were in that scene where they got both get knocked off. And
there was a giant wolf, too.
Oh, giant wolf. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone had something to do towards the end. Everyone had someone to fight, something to do. You kind of have to keep everyone busy. It's like an Avengers movie.
And I wonder, I mean, that's going to be the hard thing with Infinity War because...
Right. How are you going to keep everyone busy?
Yeah, how are you going to keep them down on the farm after they've seen Perry?
Is he going to be 4 hours long? There's 64 main characters in that film.
In Infinity War?
Yes, no budget listed. I can imagine. $640
million? Very possible. And still no Black Widow. Like, I want there to be a Black Widow Hawkeye movie.
I know.
If you're only willing to do buddy movies with these people... give them a buddy movie. You know, Andy has the greatest plot for what happened. We remember Budapest differently. Remember that line from the Avengers?
Oh, yeah.
This reminds me of Budapest. You and I remember Budapest differently. And Andy has a great plot for the Budapest. And I can't remember what it is, but it's all about memory, which is another reason why I can't remember it. But it's about somebody's memory being fucked with. But it's kind of... But that would be a great movie as well. Just the Budapest.
Show what happened.
Show what happened at the Budapest movie, please.
Well, and fans have been asking for that for years now, for a Black Widow Hawkeye movie. But we haven't, I don't know if there's even one in development right now.
I think Harvey Weinstein was on it. Oh. He had to let that one go.
Where'd it go?
May not go anywhere then.
Scarlett Johansson and had to go, I don't want to.
Where else does Marvel go? What do you look at in this movie? Obviously we're talking about Infinity Wars and Black Panther's coming out, but
what I think Marvel is going to do is the only thing they can do really is Infinity War is going to it's going to be two movies. So they're going to kind of wrap up all of the characters they introduce. They're going to slowly start introducing new characters and have them kind of take over like the franchises, cuz I don't think we're going to see Tony Stark as Iron Man forever. I think they're...
Yeah, he's got to be 54 years old, right? Yeah.
But also, the actors get tired of playing these roles.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you either have... I mean, there's been other Iron Man characters, especially there's a girl that took over.
Rescue? No, that was Pepper Potts. And then Riri. Yeah, Riri. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's in my Marvel Puzzle Quest.
Yes. So I think there's a lot of options. But what I love is, I mean, if I... if I were, as a fan, what I would like to see is a mix of the old and new, the way they're doing with Marvel and also with Star Wars, is where you introduce these new characters, but you also have the old guard still around, and you put them in the same. Like
I like seeing
everyone in the film.
Yeah,
and then you know you build from there. Then okay, well you've introduced these new characters, but you've also given me fan service where I see the old characters that I've already love. So now I'm ready to go with the new characters and see where you go with them.
Yeah, and I mean, there's it'd be neat if there was some sort of like kind of Birds of Prey kind of, you know, like a She-Hulk.
Right.
Spider-Gwen, you know. Just
I mean, how many people would know who the Guardians of the Galaxy were before the movie came out?
No one. Yeah, absolutely right. No one.
They don't need to have a huge,
any backstory.
None. Or following or, oh, everyone. You don't need that at all. Marvel knows what they're doing.
Yeah. If Cable shows up, everyone's like, oh, he seems arrogant. And then and then you're like, good guy, bad guy. You're like, well, can't tell. And so.
He'll be in the new Deadpool movie.
Will he?
Isn't Cable going to be in the new movie? Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
Well, because he's a mutant, so that's under Fox.
Oh, okay.
So.
That's right. Have you guys tried any of the TVs? Any of the TVs
programs? Yes, I have actually.
Inhumans and.
Inhumans, no, because that one got clobbered in the ratings. I'm like, if no one's liking this, I'm probably not going to enjoy it either.
Right.
I did watch Legion.
Oh, Legion.
And it got a little too crazy for me. Like, I liked it, but I was like,
it was a mess, but it was interesting.
I'm tired of being confused every episode.
Yeah.
We're watching, as a family, we're watching The Gifted.
Oh, but it was there's the two Daredevils, Iron Fist.
Oh, the Netflix
Defenders.
Ones. Yeah.
The Netflix ones are great.
The Netflix ones are good.
Even Defenders
with the exception
and Iron Fist?
Of Iron Fist.
Well, Defenders, I really like Defenders.
Okay.
Iron Fist
is a
huge problem.
Was it the casting or was it the writing?
Yes, both.
He was cast poorly.
Nothing worked about that series.
Well, if you remember, I remember watching who plays Steve Rogers, Captain America?
Chris Evans.
Chris Evans.
Okay, yeah. He was the Human Torch in the Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he was terrible.
Right.
And when they cast him as Captain America, I was like, no, let this go. Get this guy a paper hat and a spatula. I don't fucking want to watch him be a superhero. And then he destroyed his. I mean, he's amazing.
He went to the gym first,
right? Sure. And
so you're saying that could be
the Iron Fist guy.
He's solid, but here's the reason. Well,
Finn Jones could be a good character somewhere else in the Marvel universe.
Yes,
with the right writing.
He had his chance.
I don't know.
That's what I thought of Chris.
It's kind of supported because he's not unbearable in the Defenders.
Okay. Just as part of a team, he was a little bit better.
Yeah.
Well, because he kind of got carried by the other characters. But I'll tell you, it's like there's nothing about him as an actor that screams to me, expert martial artist.
No, that's the problem, too. I just think that actor is the one. If you look at most of those actors have heavy martial art backgrounds.
Okay.
Like the woman who plays Elektra, black belt. Mm-hmm. The woman who plays, what's her name, Wing?
Nightwing?
No. Iron Colleen. Fist. Colleen Wing.
Okay.
She has a martial arts background.
Misty Knight? Probably not. But she could probably fire a weapon, and she's a cop.
Yeah. So.
With only one arm now.
So, but he doesn't. Right. And he's supposed to be, his character is a kung fu
master,
like, deity.
Right.
And so if that guy's martial arts
martial arts beat a dragon. So he should be pretty good.
So if that actor didn't come from like 15, 20 years of training, you're going to notice it.
You're going to see a lot of
Starsky and Hutch haircuts running around there.
But did you ever read the Brubaker Iron Fist?
Mm-mm. No.
It's outstanding. It was the only... had never heard of Iron Fist. I read the Brubaker Iron Fist, and then I've never read an Iron Fist I liked since. But it's always weird what they choose to make a TV show out of. You're like, that guy? That had one... And granted, I think the Brubaker wrote it for probably 25 months. Mm-hmm. So there's probably 25 issues of it, but maybe more. But I want...
collected in graphic novel form. Can I grab it?
I think so. I think so. Yeah, just do Brubaker, Iron Fist, and it should all work out. But it's pretty great.
That's what I like when you're on the show. I get a reading list at the end of it.
We always get homework with Jackie.
Right.
It's like, are you reading anything good? And I'm like, I feel like I'm not reading anything, like, book-wise. I want to brag about the nonfiction that I'm slogging through. But since I've been reading it now for 2.5 months and it's only 400 pages,
What nonfiction are you reading?
It's a history of the library. It's a history of information. And so it's the history of libraries, monasteries, and laboratories. And it's called Reinventing Knowledge. And it looked light for nonfiction.
And the history of libraries and monasteries wasn't a quick read.
I thought it would be lighter.
Oh wow!
The other I thought I'd already be on the other book that I bought, which was the history of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And I haven't had a chance to start it, you guys. And I've had a chance for it to stare at me from a shelf while I instead read,
demanding to be read.
I read a Nassau Tech manual and it just didn't float through the way I thought it would.
I weed off and I'm reading Lady Sherlock Holmes. You guys, I'm not saying I'm building character over here, is what I'm saying. I got some new Mary Ballow romance novels that I gotta slog through. Lisa Kleppas.
Oh, yeah, I need to find some kind of decent, not light, but like uplifting fiction, because I've been reading like Noam Chomsky and Chris Hedges, and I'm like, oh, we're done. All right. Yeah. America's been a scam the whole time.
A little more hopeful.
Yeah. There's a deep state, and they're controlling everything. Right.
The illusion of government is what it is.
It's
man.
Fantastic.
Have you read Ready Player One? You must have read Ready Player One.
Ready Player One is fantastic.
Oh, that'll save you. They're making a movie.
Yep. All right.
Spielberg, right?
Yeah.
And I can guarantee you the movie's not going to be like the book, because the book would be impossible to shoot.
And the and the book is it's both adorable and heart-wrenching and action-y inside. It's essentially Hunger Games for 45-year-old nerds.
And if you grew up in the 80s, you'll be like, "Oh my god, this book was written just for me."
And Ernest Cline did indeed write it for you.
Okay.
Yes. You will love.
So Ready Player One. That will be uplifting.
I'm getting it. I'm getting it now.
By the way, Deadpool 2 will be out in June of next year.
Oh.
And we've got Josh Brolin as Cable.
Right.
So Deadpool comes out after Infinities. But Deadpool's kind of its own universe. It's not really in that world at all.
No.
I mean, he's Marvel, but...
Right, but he's a disaster.
But he's Fox.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very Fox.
And I feel like the Avengers, if in that world, were like, have you heard of this Deadpool guy? Like, ugh.
And, right, yeah,
it's like he's a bar bouncer, and they're like,
yeah. Right. It'd be more likely that he'll show up in a.
I mean, they wanted to
X-Men.
They wanted to put Wolverine in Captain America: First Avenger as like a cameo, because no one knows how old Wolverine is.
Yeah.
There were rights issues because of Marvel Cinematic Universe, and Fox owns the rights to the mutants.
Yeah. I just watched First Avenger and Winter Soldier again 2 days ago. It was pretty great.
Nice.
And I'm in. I'm back. I'm slogging through my DVDs.
Any closing thoughts on
go
Thor
see a movie.
Ragnarok, other than go see it?
So let me ask you this. We all saw it in 2D. Would you recommend people seeing it in 3D, or do you not feel it's not
now
necessary?
That you've reminded me of the Valkyrie scene, I kind of want to see it in 3D.
I know.
Yeah.
I might just go to the Chinese theater and go, can I just step in here for 5 minutes and just give me some
glasses?
See
this one scene.
Right. Instead of giving you $22, how about I give you $12 and I go in for this half an hour in the middle?
I'll buy a $7 popcorn. Just let me.
I bought popcorn because I thought popcorn movie for sure, this one. Have you guys seen the new soda dispensers where you can mix all the weird? It's
a
machine.
They're the best. Mm-hmm.
It's outstanding.
Cherry, vanilla, Coke Zero. Okay.
Yeah.
Get ready.
Thank you, New Jersey.
I'm back. All right, Jackie Cajun, where can people find you? You've got some comedy shows coming up. You're doing your skits and bits.
I'm doing my skits and bits at Jackie Cajun on all the social medias, jackiecajun.com. I got the Dork Forest podcast where I talk to people about what they love. And I got the Jackie and Lori podcast where Lori Kilmartin and I talk about stand-up comedy, which we love.
And where do you sell shirts on that podcast?
Oh, Let me tell you a little bit about comedyfilmnerds.com.
What a fine facility.
The store. You can get my DVD as a download from Comedy Film Nerds at the store. It's called This Will Make an Excellent Horcrux. And that is the video of me telling jokety jokes. And then you can also get some of my t-shirts and stuff and CDs from the store there. But also, those are Dork Forest t-shirts. You can get Jackie. It's the only place to get Jackie and Lori t-shirts online.
Exclusive Jackie and Lori swag, everybody.
Mm. And the Jackie and Lori logo on that t-shirt about the size of the Repulsor, the Iron Man Repulsor. So know that in your heart.
And let it cover it.
So go to comedyfilmers.com and cover your heart. All right, that's our show. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, Aaron Brungart, keeping it real on the hot stick. I don't know what that meant. Wow. I don't know what that meant. I was going to say ones and twos, but a lot of people say that, and so I backed off of it, and then all I had was hot stick.
You should have gone binary, zeros and ones.
Yeah. On the zeros and ones. Yeah.
Flip it around.
Only Jackie Cation would make
nerd.
That joke. Nerd, big nerd.
All right, you have your reading list.
You guys know what your homework assignment is. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.